Today, brothers and sisters, we celebrate St. Dionysius the Areopagite, and for those of us who remember the Book of Acts, St. Paul went up to speak with the philosophers at the Areopagite, where they would speak and give dissertation, and he told them that he came to preach them to them about the unknown God. They had an altar up there to the unknown God, and he began to explain to them how the unknown God which they worshipped out of ignorance was in fact the true God, and that he was there to preach Christ crucified and risen. And out of that encounter, one man, St. Dionysius, went with him, was baptized, and then became the first bishop of Athens. And later in his life, he was martyred. Three books have come down written by him, which the church has sent. The first being on the hierarchical, the celestial hierarchy, concerning the angels, one on the mystical names, concerning the names of God and what the names mean, and the third on the, his mystical theology, where he explained what the Orthodox Fathers call apophatic theology. Brothers and sisters, we know and understand as Orthodox that the words of the Scriptures and the words of theological symbols, the words of the Creed, cannot, in their inadequacy, describe the reality of who God is. St. Dionysius, and on his treatise on the divine name, said, for us to speak of God as holy, God is good, God is love, for us to think that these human words can describe ultimately the essence of who God is, for even to use the word of essence, he said to describe God as being. To describe God as being. We exist, but we exist as what is called contingent. Our existence is dependent upon the will of God. If he should decide tomorrow that we cease to exist, we would cease to exist. God does not exist in the same way that anything in the created world exists. God does not love in any way in which human beings can love. God is not holy in any way in which human beings can be holy. God is not just in any way that human justice can be administered. All of these words, though being human words, can only point us in the direction of Christ, point us in the direction of these eternal truths. We believe that we have communion with the energies of God, which means that God in essence is utterly unknowable and incommunicable. We cannot have communion with God in his essence, but we have communion with God through his energies. Which means simply that God, in his relationship to the created world, sends out his energies, much as the sun sends out its heat and its light. We can't have direct communion with the sun, but we can feel the heat and we can see the light. And this is an analogy that the Fathers have used on numerous occasions. In fact, Dionysius, in his Epistle on the Divine Names, compares the energies of God to the light and the heat of the sun. And we all know that everything in this world that lives attains its energy, attains its being, because the sun gives us heat and gives us light. Of course, it's sufficient heat that we cannot freeze to death, and that we're not burned. Gives us sufficient light that we can see, and that we are not blind. The hardest thing for us to grasp is that this sensory world in which we live in, this world that we experience our entire lives, is but an image, an icon of this eternal, transcendent world in which God dwells. When we speak of God loving, of showing compassion, of showing human emotions, we must remember that in his divinity, Christ is impassible, and is not subject to the weakness of human emotion, but in his humanity, he has united our weak and frail human experience to himself and has taken that humanity into heaven with him. Therefore, the chasm which I described between uncreated and created has been bridged through the person of Christ. That chasm has been bridged through the humanity of Christ. It has been bridged through the flesh which he took from our blessed and glorious Lady Theotokos. We now can have communion with the uncreated energies of God because God deemed to come down to the earth and to become one of us. We now can transcend the limits of our human knowledge, of our human understanding, of our human words, because God has given us a bridge. God has himself taken our humanity into his bosom. And as the parable of Lazarus and the rich man, Lazarus laid on the bosom of Abraham, we now, through Christ, and to the degree to which we cling to Christ, have the possibility now to be in the bosom of the Godhead. It's an awesome thing when we contemplate it. What has been opened unto us is to become, as St. Peter says, partakers of the divine nature. It is now possible for us, as the great saints themselves have proven, through communion with these uncreated energies of God, to reach, as we say, theosis, to reach that glorification, as St. Paul describes it, wherein we can see God, wherein the words of the Beatitude, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, find fulfillment in this life. And to this we are called, brothers and sisters, to live a life worthy of those who will see God, to live a life worthy of those whom God deemed worthy, to become one and unite us through his death and resurrection. And as we heard in today's gospel, out of gratitude for what he has done for us, all he asks of us is that we learn to love. That we learn to love in the way he loved. For though we were yet sinners, he says in the Gospel of John, he laid down his life as a man lays down his life for his friends. We have become friends of Christ. Not because we desire to be his friend, because each of us, if we had our will, if we had our way, would be still stuck in the passions of this life, would be friends, as he says, of the world. But he calls each of us, to open our hearts and our minds, and primarily by learning to get out of ourselves and to learn to love our enemies, to pray for those who persecute us, to love with the kind of selfless love that a man will give up his life for his friends. How many of us in our lives have encountered those weak and frail human beings who would run into a burning building to save a child, who would jump into a raging river to save someone from drowning? It's in those moments, those heroic moments, that each one of us now, through the grace of God, is capable of manifesting in our lives. Each one of us is capable now of loving with the love of the saints. Each one of us now has the gift given to us to love. To love fervently, to love selflessly, to love with the kind of love that Christ loves the church. I know it's a hard thing. We get trapped in the day-to-day cares of this world. We get trapped in the day-to-day cares of our life, our worries, our fears. And it's far too easier, It's far too easy to hate people, to be angry with people, than it is to forgive and to love. Brothers and sisters, I call each of us, to come to an understanding of what a great gift God has given us, and to learn to love. Because once we learn to love, all the doors are open to us. All the mysteries are revealed to us. All the truths are laid before us as a great feast, and all we are asked to do is joyfully receive that feast. Let us be worthy, brothers and sisters. Let us be worthy to receive the feast. Glory to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen.